Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord loves his people so much, and he cares for us all. And I thank God that he does. Now, the Lord, I talked about the living protocol that the Lord has. He gives grace to the humble, and he resists the proud. And this is very important to understand. The Lord is, he's from when we first met him, he was dividing light from darkness. Light from darkness. He does it in Isaiah 8, but before we go to Isaiah 8, let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 reads, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Now this is the creation scripture that I always talk about recently. You know, I've been reading the Word a long time, but this is the only creation scripture. The rest of them is restoration. Because verse 2 said, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." And God said, verse 3, "Let there be light," and that was light. Now watch this. "And God saw the light that it was good, and the darkness..." God saw the light that was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Evening and the morning was the first day. So, on this Sunday of the Restoration Week, the Lord made a distinction between light and darkness. He divided it. He divided it. Now, yesterday's broadcast was called See Through Glory. See Through Glory. Now, when God said, "Let there be light," the glory of God was on the earth. This was the light. It was not the sun. It was not the stars, because they didn't come about till the fourth day on Wednesday. Now, on Sunday of the covenant week, God said, "Let there be light." God saw the light that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. Darkness, the light he called day, the darkness he called night. Evening and morning, first day. So, he did this. He made it. He divided it. Now, let's look at Isaiah. And by the way, today's date is February 24th. It's a Thursday, February 24th, 2022. Yesterday's broadcast was very interesting to me. And See Through Glory, that was on... It was done on Wednesday, February 23rd, 2022. It's a little side footnote. Okay, Isaiah 8. Listen to what happened here. Now, this is Isaiah 8. And the Lord is doing this all over again. He's making a distinction again. He's dividing light from darkness again. See, Israel was about to go into Assyrian captivity, see. Well, Isaiah 8, verse 1, "Moreover, the Lord said unto me, Take thee a great roll, write in it with a man's pen concerning Me'er-Shal and Hash-Baz. And I took unto me faithful witnesses to record, Uriah the priest, Zechariah the son of Berechiah. And I went into the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. And he and then said the Lord to me, Call his name Me'er-Shal and Hash-Baz. For before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away before the king of Assyria." Now watch this. "The Lord spake unto me again, saying, For as much as this people refuse the waters of Shiloh, that go softly and rejoice in resin and Remaliah's son. Now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria, and all his glory. And he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks." They didn't live the good life. They didn't want the waters that go softly. They got into idolatry, and they sold things that caused a terrible reaping process to happen, which was the king of Assyria and all his glory. It said he should come up over all his channels and over all his banks. Then it says this, verse 8, he shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even unto the neck, and the stretching out of the wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. Now, this time, the people didn't ask for help. When you study Judges, all throughout Judges, whenever Israel got in trouble, they cried out for help. And the Lord would help them and repent. The Lord would repent and help people that delayed to repent. But they did repent. And once they repented and asked the Lord to forgive them of their sins, then God would move on their behalf, raise up somebody to help them. Same, it happened in the days of Gideon, Jephthah, and many others. They would ask the Lord. Now they're not asking for help. Now take notice of that. And they knew better. They had kings, king after king. They had evil kings. And it got to a point that they didn't even ask for help anymore. He said, associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Watch this. Verse 10, take counsel together, and it shall come to nothing. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. They were an adversary against the covenant of God. They didn't have covenant laughter. They were not in agreement with God, so they couldn't have covenant laughter. Among themselves, they were not in covenant agreement. They had become an enemy to the covenant. And it says, take heed, take counsel together, and it shall come to nothing. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. See, sometimes when people speak the word and they're not in covenant with God anymore, they're just speaking vain words. But see, they call themselves the people of God while they associated with the idolatry of other countries. Now watch verse 11. For the Lord spake this to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, now watch this, verse 12. Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. They tried to be federated with other countries that were in idolatry. Instead of asking the Lord to help them, they asked the other countries to help them. Verse 13 says, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. But this hard-headed people wouldn't do that. Verse 14 says, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and a block and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble, fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken. Many among them, not all, but many among them shall stumble, and fall, and be broken, and be snared and be taken with their contrary ways. But watch this. Verse 16 is the key verse right here. The Lord always chooses the light and rejects the darkness. Verse 16 said, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. Now these are the real authentic people of God. Isaiah said, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, those that really love God. He give them wisdom. He seal the law among them. And I will wait upon the Lord, which hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. So God is hiding from those of darkness. Now this has been going on from the beginning. But now, the enemy has infected Israel and Judah with the hostile sin of idolatry. Now watch what Isaiah said in verse 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwells in Mount Zion. He said, Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwell in Mount Zion. This happened to me, you know, the way God gave me this ministry. For a long time, for many decades, and I'm not that old, so for decades, 2 decades went by, almost 3. Let's see, I got saved in 83. In 2016, before 2016, every day for about 3 years, the Lord told me, people are going to want to hear you. People are going to want to hear you. And I wasn't used to that. I was used to people not listening, not desiring the things of God. Now, I explained those things, and you know, when I talked about the glories, the broadcast sanctions and sanctions too. The Lord answered a question in that broadcast. It's on this seven. It's on page 7. Sanctions and sanctions too. See, when the Lord gave me that, I had asked him, why is it that sometimes you preach your heart out and people don't want it? Or you think that people will embrace the revelations that the Holy Spirit gives you, and they let it slip because of mindsets and doctrinal ways, and you know, the ways of organizations. That if your revelation don't fit their paradigm, and they'll reject it. Or if you're too young or too old, or if you know, sometimes Christian people can be very finicky in the way that they receive and who they are received from. They may like one brother. It goes right back to what Paul talked about, how I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Jesus. You know, is Jesus divided? Can't you tell when the Holy Spirit is speaking? Why do you have to be somebody of prestige status to be received? You know, why do some people only receive from those that they learn, that they're used to, the college professors or people that that are well known in ministry? You got to have a name for yourself or something. See, God don't like that. I don't care who speaks of the Holy Spirit, it's detectable. It's a glory. Yesterday's broadcast was called See Through Glory. See, when we grow from glory to glory, right? Paul said, some people say they want to grow to the next level. Well, Paul didn't say the next level. He said, and I understand that. I understand what they mean. I'm not discounting it. But he said, we grow from glory to glory. The reason I stick with it is because there's a message in it. Now, see, I explained in yesterday's broadcast, See Through Glory, when Adam and Eve, the glory of God rested upon them. And you could see it. There was no sin, so it was obvious. You know, they outshined the sun. You know, just like Moses when he came back from the mountain, after he wrote the Ten Commandments, his face was shining like the sun. I mean, he was shining with the glory of God when he saw God's backside. And his face outshined the sun. So that's visible glory. Well, the glory on our lives, as we yield to the Lord and live in his ways and live with his love, that agape love of God, we become notable to people. It's noticeable. It's a glory. And we walk in it. We live by it. And when you enter into a glory, just like a person that just gets saved, they entered into a glory. And you can tell there's something new about them. Then when they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they went to another glory. And some people will watch you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they won't enter in themselves. And I shared all this yesterday. It's see-through glory because it's not visible. You look the same. You can see through this glory, but it's obvious that it's there. When you live according to God's word, That's something unique and different about you. When you live according to his wisdom, when you hear ministers teach under the anointing, you know it's something unique about them. That's of God. It's noticeable and detectable. So when an unknown preacher come along, nobody knows who he is, and he speaks with the word of God, everybody knows it. But sometimes people get offended against them. Timothy said, Paul had to deal with Timothy about don't let people despise your youth. Jeremiah said, I'm just a child. Who made him feel like he was just a child? People did. He didn't get that from God. God said, don't say you're a child. So the problem is there's a residue of a satanic mindset amongst the people of God. And for this reason, see, you can't grow into things of God and discount somebody that's of God, because you can't follow God with Satan's mindset. We covered this yesterday in See Through Glory. And see, the glory of God is designed to attract those that's sincere, and it seals itself against those who love preeminence. I'm going to say that again. The glory of God, it reveals itself, it seals itself to those that are sincere. So when people are sincere in their heart, they'll never have a problem learning from God and receiving what is true. Paul wrote in Corinthians 13 that love believes all things. Now, I like to add something to it. I'm not trying to add something to the word of God, but if you consider the way of love, love is not of hatred. Love is of God. Love does what God does. So I believe it's safe to say that love believes everything of God. Love believes all things of God. I taught this in the Sunday school class. I had to make that distinction because that's to be understood. But since it's not written that way, possibly through the interpretation loss, I had to add it. So, and it's true. Love believes everything of God. It's easy to believe somebody of God. I don't have a problem when somebody does something outstanding that's unknown. Ron Wyatt found the Ark of the Covenant. He found Noah's Ark, the real Mount Sinai, and other things. Now, I believe him for two reasons. One, because Henry Groover introduced me to him, a man of God. And when I listened to Ron Wyatt, he's a humble man. he's the kind of person the Lord will seal his law to. Isaiah said, seal my law among my disciples. He's a disciple. He never tried to make a name for himself. He wanted to find these artifacts to prove to people that this is real so they don't go to hell. His motives were pure. And so he did something about his convictions. And anybody that'll believe God and yield themselves to the Lord showed him how to do it. And he taught about how he found these things. And God was with him. I didn't have a problem believing him because that's how I know how my God operates. A big shot, God ain't gonna use him. He'll use him so much, but when people get too big for their britches or high minded, then their ministry can't go any further. I've seen it too many ways, and I hate when it happens. And you can't talk them out of it either. You can't distract them out of it. If it's in your heart the wrong way, that's how they're gonna behave. See, the Lord said, he said in verse 18, behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwells in Mount Zion. And before that, he said, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. It was Ron Wyatt that introduced us to these truths. Now, and he died. Other people wrote books and took credit for it, but he found it. And now there's YouTube that proves it. Now, When we seek the Lord and we are sincere, we'll never have a problem growing from glory to glory. But people who get stifled by religious doctrine, call religious doctrine and organization doctrines and mindsets and of the day and the culture of the proud. Now watch what he said in verse 19. Let me read verse 18 again. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord have given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel, from the Lord of hosts which dwells in Mount Zion. Verse 19, and when they over there shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? For the living to the dead, are you kidding me? You're seeking a dead man for advice about life instead of God. So, and he said, no. Verse 20, he explains, he said, to the law and to the testimony. And if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. And then verse 21, and they shall pass through it hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves, curse their king and look and their God and look upward. I'm going to read it this way. Because there's no light in them, they shall pass through it hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look to the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. They wouldn't seek the Lord. They tried to make a confederacy with people that's no good, mean them no good, and serve Baal. So God gave these countries over, these countries of defiance, just like the 10 nations that served the Antichrist. He gave these countries of defiance over to the king of Assyria. And this king of Assyria was rotten hearted too. But God found, he's exposing something here. People that gets rotten in their heart, they exclude themselves from the visible, understandable glory of God. They see people growing in the things of God and they exclude themselves on purpose. It's not an accident that people don't get saved. It's not an accident that they go the other way when they see the people of God coming. It's not an accident that they ridicule things of God and take it too lightly. They always end up just like this, hardly bestead and hungry. And they'll fret themselves. They fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. They still think they're righteous. The enemy always caused people to blame God for what they did. They trusted Satan. I told my son this morning, when people are depressed or in anxiety or in fear, that stuff is designed to be complicated. It's designed to be hard to get out of. Satan was once an angel. And he knows how to corrupt people. So he used corruption. It's not easy to get out of it. And you're not going to get out of it if you share his mindset. But if you take on the mind of the Lord, you're coming out of all forms of deception, darkness, anxiety, fear. Perfect love cast out fear. You walk in the agape love of God, you will stop fearing. You walk in you receive his word in your heart, you will not be anxious anymore. It will fall off you. My pastor said it this way. Now, this was Jim McCann III. He turned the church over to his son, Jim McCann IV. But years ago, he said this. He said, and both of these, they're my pastor, but I affectionately call Jim McCann III my pastor. He's doing things that God has given him to do. And I thank God for him. And I thank God for my pastor, Jim McCann IV. I love both of them. But when Jim McCann III was pastor in those days, he said, it was after Wednesday night Bible. I miss going to Wednesday night like I used to. But anyway, he said, when you study the word, demons fall off your life. And I asked him to explain that. He did. When you're receiving God's word, there's nothing for the enemy to attach to. Demonic activity requires ignorance. When you receive the word of God in your heart, you can't be deceived in the categories of the word that you did receive. Because two things can't be true. Kenneth Copeland said this. He said, you can't have faith and fear. If you're in fear, you can't be in faith. If you're in faith, you can't be in fear. It's just the way it is. Now, in different areas of life, you may struggle to be healed, but you may have no trouble prospering. Or sometimes people have no trouble being healed and they have trouble prospering. Well, all they got to do is receive the word on wherever they lack. And if a man struggles to prosper, and if he receives the word that deals with prosperity, work ethics, wisdom, he's going to prosper. Miles Monroe said it this way. He pointed out in his last sermon before he went on to be with the Lord that we are designed by God to be what we are, to be like Christ. He said, you can't fire a bird from flying. He's designed that way. We are designed to prosper. We are designed to do everything that Jesus did. As he is, so are we in this world. We just got to learn those things. We got to enter into the glories and then we can do it. God already set us up for it. One lady, Nancy Dufresne, said that if a Christian dies sick, they died with the healing power of God within. If they died broke, they died with the prosperity of God within. They just didn't know how to use it. God set us up. But Isaiah said, seal the law among my disciples. Now, I want to, this points something out for us. I just saw it too, being honest. He said, bind up the law, seal, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. You can't just want to know God's word. You got to be disciplined enough to get it. If you let everything hinder you from receiving what God has to say, God is not talking about you. He's talking about people. He said, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, people that put forth effort to learn. If you're going to have covenant, if you're going to be covenant appropriate, you're going to have to become a disciple. Now, Daniel put it this way. I love the word of God. Daniel said, they that do know the Lord will be strong and do exploits. Now, what's the difference between a person that know about God and a person that know the Lord? So people that know the Lord will be strong and do exploits. You people that know the Lord, they are disciples. They walk with him. They ask him questions. They take time and learn. Jesus said, learn of me. Here it is, Daniel 11:32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries. That's the Antichrist is going to corrupt them by flatteries. That's all it takes. A few buzzing words, a few buzzwords, a few catchphrases. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. But the people who listen to the devil's catchphrases, he's going to corrupt them by flatteries. Now, they're the type that Isaiah was talking about in the last verse here. Go back to it. Isaiah 8, verse 22. They shall look to the earth, behold, trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish. They shall be driven to darkness. They trusted the flattering words of the devil. Verse 21 shows us why. Because they rejected the light, again, they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves, curse their kings, and their God and look upward. They're not going to give the word of God a second chance. They're going to they're enthused by the flattery that they believe. They didn't receive the light. See, should the people, verse 19, when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter. They do this because they believe that's going to work out all right. they feel educated, illuminated. The things of God is for the simple. That's the mind, that's the proud mind. God will never use a person that's unknown. That's the proud mind. Right, Ron White wasn't sent by an organization. That's just the proud mind. You know, he never went to the great Bible college. Proud mind. But when they say to you, see, people, they have conviction about what they believe. Everybody does, whether they're God's people or Satan's people. When they shall say to you, seek to them that have familiar spirits, wizards that peep and that mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God? For the living to the dead, a living man is asking a dead man why this is going on. Or what should I do? No, because they have no light. They do this. He said, no, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. And because there's no light in them, they shall pass through it hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass when they shall say, when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves, curse their king, their God, and look upward. And they're going to fall right off the cliff with the one they really love, which is the Antichrist. Consider these things. The Lord is moving among those that love him, and the hearts of the wicked are being hardened.